man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, you know, all of us have to be in that particular position. One that hates evil and fears God. Because you really do have a better chance if you have that connection with the Lord. Amen? And so the Bible goes on and says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. 7 sons and 3 daughters. So this shows that this man, because of his position in the Lord, of trying to the best of his ability for perfection, to know God and to serve him in uprightness, we see from this that he was a man that was blessed. And today in the church world, we see a lot of people wanting God to bless them. But we don't see a lot of people wanting to serve God with their whole heart. Just because they name the name of Jesus and say they belong to Jesus and they belong to some church, that is not what the Bible's talking about. What we have to do in order to be righteous before the Lord, we've got to give him our whole heart. We've got to stand before the Lord and give him everything that he asks us to do and more than he's ever asked us to do. And particularly in such a time as this. Amen? And so God had blessed him with a nice family. And he also blessed him with a lot of wealth. And you see that in the next verse. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So this shows that Job was a man, actually, that was the wealthiest man, the most blessed man in his country. Boy, would I like to be in his position. But as you begin to read the book of Job, you're not so sure you want to stand in that position. Because you see, when you have everything and you're blessed and everything's going just the way you want it to go and you're living the American dream and everything seems to be great, you see, there's the time when a lot of people just forget who God is. They just go about their business and they think that just because they're rich and blessed, they don't have to think about God anymore. But Job wasn't like this. He was a great man of God. Now, wouldn't you like to be known as a great man of God to your family and to your neighbors and those that meet you and know you? That's a great talent to be known as a great man of God. And the Bible says, and his sons went and feasted in their house, every one of his one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And so you see that these sons were sons that lived and had the rich daddy, their commitment was not the same as the father's. And the Bible shows that it disturbed the father. And so it also shows that he was not quite honest about his children, to himself, that is. He put blinders on his eyes and he said, maybe if they had sinned in their heart. Now something opened the door for him to go and make fastings and sacrifices for those sons. So he saw what was going on with his children. But he didn't openly admit it. He just did what good fathers do. They fast and pray for their families and believe God to move in the circles of their families, right? And so what he wanted to do is he wanted his sons to be sanctified. And the same thing happens for us. We all want our children into the kingdom of God, and we want them sanctified and living for Christ. And in this hour of time, it's very difficult for families to all be in church worshiping God. There's so much for them to play with and see and do. And, you know, they look at Christianity as being a boring thing. But Christianity is not boring. And I was doing a newsletter today about it. And I was making note of some of the things that are going on in the church, in the churches, concerning the churches being taken over by psychology and men that think that they can just pull the church together and then they can make a world peace treaty and then they can be instrumental in bringing the whole city into the church building. And everything will be okay because, after all, they are working for peace. But when you see what the Lord said, he said, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I came to bring division. What was he talking about? You see, there are some people that belong to Jesus and some people that don't. And he came to bring separation between his people and those people that don't belong to him. So these men that are working to bring about order, peace, unity, and all of the churches coming together and everything's great, let me tell you, what they're leaving out is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're leaving out Jesus as the only way back to the kingdom. They're teaching the churches that all pathways lead back to God. And of course, we know that Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father unless he draws them there. But the point is that there can be a spiritual blindness that comes over people's minds, that they only want to see the things that they want to see. So I made note in the newsletter about that particular group of people. But then I began to talk about the power of God and the power that he gives us and the excitement that we find in Jesus Christ because he extends his power to us. And you know, our little church is very blessed because we see God absolutely working in people's lives if they will let him, right? And so we're blessed to see that God will pull the veil apart and let us peer into the darkness, but bring light into a person's life. It's an exciting life if we just look at it in the right perspective. But with this man, he was very concerned about those children because he noticed that they weren't walking just exactly the way he was walking. And then in verse 5, it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. You see, he was the father. And the father in the Old Testament was the one that gave the blessings to the children. He would lay hands on the children and release the blessings over the children and their inheritances, not only in the physical realm, their inheritances, but the spiritual realms, their inheritance. So Job was standing in the position at this moment as the priest of his household. And I believe that this should continue on into the New Testament, because the father is one of the most important beings in a family. And American churched fathers are not really taught some of these things. They're not taught to release the blessings of Abraham upon their children and break the powers of the family curses generational back, you know. But it was an important thing to Job to sanctify them. So he rose up and offered the burnt offerings according to the number of all of them. So he blessed every single one of them. Not as a group, but individually. He offered the sacrifices for each one of them. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. And some of us, we know our sons sin. We don't have to wonder about it. We all know that they're in sin, because that's the civilization that we're living in. It's cool to be a sinner. And sometimes the people in the world look upon Christians as being very weak-kneed, boring, and you have it. But Christianity is very exciting. You know, how can the person that created the universe be boring? You know? How can Jesus be boring when he knows the name of every single person living on the face of the earth? Every little sparrow that flies up into the sky, the Bible says that not one falls out of the sky unless the Father allows it. Now, this past week, thousands of birds fell out of the sky over there in Australia. Different kinds of birds. And then birds fell out of the sky over in Texas. What's going on? Is it men that are releasing poisons up in the skyways? It could well be. But the truth is that, as I told Zeph Daniels this week, when he asked me what did I think about it, I said that God is doing everything in his power to get the attention of people on this earth. And I said, you know, it's better for the sparrows and the birds to fly and fall dead out of the sky than whole cities of people. I said, but if people continue to go along their rebellious ways, we'll probably see cities of people dying before this is all over. Amen? I think it's a judgment of God. And everywhere you turn and look, you see strange things happening. We see that we haven't had really a winter here in Jacksonville. New York City, they haven't had a winter up there. They're walking around in shorts. And over on the west, Middle West, and New Mexico, Zeph Daniels said that the snow was so bad that they were afraid for their lives, because he said there's one little dirt road that comes in to where they live, and there were only about 8 snow shovels in that area. Things are happening. Out in California, there, the big well-to-do movie stars, their houses burning in Malibu, you know. Things are happening to grab our attention, and God is saying, listen, I'm coming soon. Get your life in order. Stay close to me so that I can walk you through the pits that are going to spring upon the earth. Amen? And so the Bible shows that this man was a praying man. He rose up early to do his spiritual duties for himself and for his family. He was a man of God that did everything that he knew to do spiritually and religiously. Amen? And the Bible shows that he was taking care of his family. He was doing his parental duties towards his family. And so you see a man that you don't see many men like that in our country anymore, you know. But here's a man that was serving God with all of his heart. And in verse 6 it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. I believe that the sons of God are the messengers of God, the angels of God. And I believe that they go before the throne of God to give their reports of what they're doing and how they're doing it. And even the devil had to stand before the throne of God to give his report in the book of Job. Amen? And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, I'm going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect upright man, one that feareth God and eschew evil. Now, this shows that God is omniscient. He knew Job's name. He knew his spiritual condition. And God also could sit on his front throne and see and know all things. But for Satan to know what was going on, he had to go from place to place because he's not omniscient. He's just a created being. And that's what you have to get your eyes on, is the majesty, the omniscient, the great power of God, so that you can walk under God's circle of love and protection and know that God is able to take care of you in all things. A lot of Christians, they seem to have a big devil and a little Jesus. Everything that goes on, you know, the devil did it. The devil is the one, some of them say, that healed the sick in some churches. The devil is the one that gives tongues. The devil, the devil, the devil. And they never see that Jesus Christ is superior over the devil and that Jesus can do a lot of great things also. Isn't that true? And so in these scriptures, we can see that a lot of evil activity go on in the earth, and the Bible attributes it to the devil. Now, you know, when I was in Israel, I was a baby Christian, and there were some Jews there in one of the shops, and they were arguing with Christians about the Bible. And one of them said, Satan is never mentioned in the Old Testament. And none of us knew any better because we were all baby Christians, so we couldn't argue about it. Since then, I know better. I know that he was mentioned many times in the Old Testament, and this just happens to be one of them. And you see, it calls him by his name, Satan. And the Bible shows that he and God begin to have this little talk. And he says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none servant, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who feareth God and eschewed evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But the devil said, Put forth thine hand, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And so you see, the devil knows that the weakness of man is the flesh. And he knows that the weakness of the flesh is his materialistic dependencies on the things of this world. And he knows that if he can take away the things that you have, then he can get your soul. He knows also that if he can promise certain people to give them things, he can get their soul. That's what he did with the Lord. He said, "See all these kingdoms? If you'll serve me, I'll give them all to you." So that's why many people sell out to Satan, is because of what he promises to give them and do for them. But you see, these scriptures show that God can do more than Satan can for you. These scriptures show that this man was uprighteous, he was God-fearing, he despised sin. The Bible shows that this particular man was serving God to the best of his ability. And you're going to find out down the line a little bit that he was serving God. He was serving God. You see, God wants to sanctify you. You cannot sanctify yourself. And when you try to sanctify yourself, then you get religious. When you try to be better than everybody else and you're judging everybody else's lifestyle, well, they're not as good as me. I saw what they did. You know what I'm saying? What you're doing is you've got a false holiness and a false sanctification. And the Bible shows that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, are the ones that sanctify you as you submit yourself to their word and to their plans. They're the ones that clean you up. They're the ones that make you strong, you see? And so in this case, the devil put his finger on it. He saw the weakness of Job here. He saw the strength of God. And he saw that God was blessing Job because he was doing everything that he knew to do. But at the same time, God knew that he was going to have to teach Job a thing or two to make him strong so that he could overcome and come into the kingdom God's way, not his way. Amen? And so the Bible says that God had put this hedge around him, which was God's divine protection over his entire life and family, which we pray that on people. We say, "God, put Job's hedge around this person. Protect him, you know, from the evil one." So there really is such a thing as a hedge that God can place around you. And so Job just knew that if he could just get a hold of his blessings, his temporal blessings, his materialistic blessings, he could get his soul. Because after all, if Job is who God said he is, God said there's none like him, right? He says no one like him. Well, he was probably the only righteous man in the land. So he was the best blessed man in the land too, right? And so prosperity in the Old Testament and the New Testament is very connected to the blessings of Abraham and serving God in obedience, doing his word to the best of your ability. And I believe that it is also that way in the New Testament too. And so the Bible says about the hedge, and he says, just go ahead and take that hedge away, and he'll curse you to your face. And so in 11, he says, but put forth thine hand, touch all that he has, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. So God gave Satan the agreement to go and touch everything that Job had. And so what do we see going on here? We see that God knew the heart of Job. We see that God knew the strength that Job had built through his service and doing the word of God in his life. We see that God had extended to Job grace to stand, which is very important. Job might not could have stood in his own right, but God knew what man he was dealing with here. And as we get on into Job, you're going to see that God gives Job the power to withstand great adversity that came upon him and his family and his life. Great adversity. I mean, he lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his sons and his daughters. He lost everything. And though he's rocking and reeling, Job is still standing. And so I believe that the book of Job is not about the suffering of Job. It's about the grace of God. And it's about God's knowledge of knowing that Job would be able to withstand all the wiles of the devil and still come through the book of Job, standing, doubting in some cases, but having to come to the point of understanding the reason, Job, you're standing is not because of your own righteousness, your own power, and your own strength. You're standing because of my power and my righteousness and my gift of grace and strength to you. Amen? And so we are going to have to stop there because we never get as far as I think we're going to get.